I'm going to start a four-part series, and my subtitle for today is To Plan or Not to Plan. That is always the question. Do I plan for my life? Do I not plan for my life? And many times Christians wonder, as Christians, is it biblical for us to plan our lives? Or we should just trust God to guide us? And there's a very important question that most Christians grapple with. Sometimes we read the Bible and we come across verses that seem to discourage us as Christians from planning and just encourage us to live by faith every day, one day at a time. So I'm going to answer the question, should we plan for our lives or not? To plan or not to plan? And to answer that, I'm going to talk about the ways in which people see lives. The way we see life is what we call our philosophy of life. A philosophy of life is basically the way you run your life. And even if you think you don't have a philosophy of life, you think, I don't. There's no philosophy. My life is just, I'm just walking in the Bible or whatever it is. Many times we're not aware of it, that our life follows a certain mindset or philosophy or the way we see life. So I'm going to talk about three key ways that people see life. It's not all about all the philosophies of life, but I've tried to summarize the major philosophies of life in three major ways. The first one is what I call the fatalist view of life. A fatalist is a person who says, whatever will be, que sera, sera. Whatever will be. It means that this person believes that there is fate or destiny or something beyond themselves that has already determined their lives for them and that they can do nothing about it. If they are Christians, they will believe that God has already fixed everything and there is nothing they can do about it. If they are not Christians, they may think that some other God or some other power has fixed their lives and there is nothing they can do about it. A fatalist view is normally a passive view. People who think like this believe that there is nothing they can do about their lives, so they are very passive about life or laissez-faire about life. They just live life to live itself. And it's a point of view that a lot of people have. Even if they don't put it in the same words, it is a point of view they have. And I believe that most Africans have a fatalistic view of life. They see life as fixed and there is nothing they can do about it. It's one of the reasons why, one of the major reasons why our continent, our nations remain undeveloped, because we have a fatalistic view of life. We believe it is fixed and there's nothing we can do. Most Africans do not believe in cause and effect. They believe that cause does not produce effect, and effect is not a result of a cause. That things just happen and there is no consistency about how things happen. So that's the first point of view, a fatalistic point of view. And I hope that you don't have that view. But even if you have that view, by the time I'm through with my session, I hope that you would move away from that view. The second view that people have of life is quite opposite the fatalistic point of view. It is the humanistic point of view. The humanist says, I can be whatever I want to be. So when somebody is a humanist, it means that they believe that they are the ultimate power controlling their own life. They are the kind of people who say, I am the master of my destiny, the captain of my ship, as it is captured in the poem, The Invictus. And such a person does not have a place for any external or supernatural force determining anything for their lives. It is the way of view of the atheist and the agnostic, people who don't place God anywhere in any order of priority for their lives. And they see our life as controlled by them. This point of view is very predominant in the modern Western world. You go to Europe and you go to places like that, people have a humanistic view of life. And we read a lot about this view of life in many of the self-help books, life improvement books that are abounding all over, lectures on podcasts and how to take charge of your life and manage your life and improve your life and so on and so forth. Purely from a humanistic point of view, that you are the ultimate controller of your views. But the humanistic view, although it appears modern, is not a modern point of view. It's actually the oldest or the most ancient of all the points of view. You find it in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve had a humanistic view of life, they believed they could be God by themselves, and that's why they fell from the garden. That's what happened at the Tower of Babel, when the people at that time felt they could build their own destiny. In both cases, God opposed their actions. The humanistic view seems modern, but it is actually the most ancient of these views. And it is man trying to control his destiny all by themselves. So that's the second point of view. Most Africans do not have a humanistic point of view. Most, I would say, have a fatalistic point of view. But there is a third way and a preferred way. It is what I call the biblicist point of view. The biblicist is the one who says, I choose what God wants for my life. The biblicist is the person who says, God wants something to do with me. God has a plan for my life, and I am responsible for making the choices that makes the plan of God for my life work. So the biblicist is a person whose point of view is rooted in the Bible. It is settled in the Bible. It is supposed to be the Christian way, but most Christians do not hold a biblicist point of view, though it is supposed to be the Christian point of view. And that is how God wanted Adam and Eve to live. He says, I place before you the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Choose life. So I have a plan for you, but you make a choice. And Adam and Eve made a wrong choice. So the biblicist point of view, which I believe is a view Christians should have, is that we see in the Bible God's presence and at the same time, human responsibility. And the two have to have a marriage at a certain point. And my hope is that by the time I'm through with this four-part series, we will acquire a biblicist philosophy of life that encourages personal responsibilities as well as divine purpose and divine plan. And the two must work together. If you are a fatalist, I hope that we can deliver you from that worldview. Now, having spoken about these three philosophies, let's now go into the Bible. And as Christians, everything we believe is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ, what he taught, what he practiced, what he lived for. So we have to find out, what does Jesus say about our plans? What did Jesus teach about making plans for life, for destiny, and so on and so forth? And I will present two statements of Jesus Christ that speak to two sides of making plans. The first one is in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 31 to 34, Matthew chapter 6, 31 to 34. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Particularly when you look at the verse 34, you could get the impression that Jesus did not want us to plan ahead of time. If you read the verse 34, it says, don't worry about tomorrow. It almost seems like a fatalistic point of view. Just live life. It will manage itself. So is that what Jesus taught? Yes, it's there. But is that all that Jesus taught? The important thing when we are studying the Bible is that we have to study the Bible in a contextual way and also study it from a full content point of view. In other words, you don't just take a particular verse and build everything around it. You have to see the fullness of it. Jesus did not say only one thing. He said many things. So yes, here he's saying, don't worry about tomorrow. And he seems to imply, don't plan. He seems to imply. But is that what Jesus fully represents? So we look at the second text from Jesus Christ. It's in the Gospel of Luke. And it's in Luke chapter 14, verse 28 to 31. Luke chapter 14, 28 to 31. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish? And all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Well, so this is another view. And when you look at this, it will seem to imply that Jesus is saying, we have to plan. Jesus is saying, if you're going to build a house, you don't just get up and build a house. You have to build with planning. And each one of you who has built a house before or is intending to build a house knows that there's a lot of planning that goes into building a house, especially in Ghana. First, you have to buy the piece of land from one family and buy it from another family and buy it from a third family. That's how we do it in Ghana. We don't do things simple. We complicate everything. Buy three times. And you have to go and register the land and do all of that. Now, when you have secured your land, you have to build a wall around the land. Then you have to say, okay, now it's time for me to build. You have to think about pickaxes. You have to think about shovels. And you have to think about iron rods. You have to think about cement. You have to think about sand. You have to think about stones. And you have to think about plastering. And you have to think about all of these things. Then you have to come and think about painting, and you have to think about electricians who never keep to their promises, and carpenters who always disappoint you. Now you have to plan for all of these things. So many things that happen. You don't just get up and build a house. There are so many processes. And Jesus is saying that that is how we live our lives also. We plan for our lives. So if you look at the two passages, they give us two sides of a coin. At one point says, don't worry. The other point says, take responsibility. So if we put the two together, what is Jesus teaching us? What is he telling us? And what kind of philosophy does he give us about the way we should run our lives? Three things I'm going to say. First, Jesus is saying, don't be preoccupied with the things you need. In other words, don't let the things you need in life occupy your whole life. I need money. I need breakthrough. I need to make it. I need to prosper. I need to break through. Don't let your whole life be a preoccupation with survival or even with prosperity, because many of us live our lives preoccupied. We get up in the morning and all we want to do is to hustle and hustle and hustle and hustle and hustle and make it. I want to make it big. It's good to make it. Jesus says that your Father knows that those things are important, but don't be preoccupied. Don't be consumed with making it and just being rich and being prosperous and having food to eat. Don't preoccupy your life with that. Because if you let those become the preoccupation of your life, your whole life will be very miserable. You get up in the morning worried, anxious, and always having a trouble that you try to overcome. So Don't preoccupy your life with the things you need. That's the first principle Jesus is teaching. If we're going to plan for our lives, if we're going to plan the 10-year life, start by not being anxious, preoccupied with life. So that's point number one. Second thing Jesus is teaching is make God's will your priority and choice. Don't be preoccupied with your need, but be occupied with God. Make God your priority. Make His will your priority. Make the things of God your priority. In other words, in terms of hierarchy, finding out God's plan and God's purpose and living out God's plan and God's purpose should take precedence over your survival needs. Yes, you need to survive. Yes, you need to make it. Yes, you need to make money. But in terms of priority, this is what you do first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Make God your priority. And then the third thing Jesus is saying is plan adequately for the things you want. Plan adequately for the things you want. You don't say, because God is my priority, I won't plan. I go to church, I fast and pray, I speak in tongues, I believe in God, I believe everything will be all right. It's good to believe that, but we have to plan adequately. We have to make the right plans. We have to be intentional about our lives. We have to be intentional about what happens to us. Whether you plan for it or not, the next 10 years, you'll be 10 years older. Whether I plan for it or not, I'll be 75 in 10 years' time. I can decide to sleep from now to 10 years and wake up 75. I can decide to do nothing. I can decide just to live one day at a time. I will still be 75, but what kind of 75-year-old do I want to be? For some of you, 10 years from now, you'll be 35. Some of you probably will be 45. Some of you will be 55. I'm working with the fives. Some of you will be 65. Some of you will be 75 or 85 or 95 or 105. Now you can say, well, I don't even know whether I will live to be that. But what if you live to be that? You can't control some things, but there is a lot you can control. You can plan for your life. And when you plan for your life, you will be amazed at how efficient your life will be run and how effective your life would be. So Jesus is saying, plan adequately for your life. You want to build a tower? Plan for it. You want to go into battle and win? Plan for it. If you want to be happy, plan for it. You want to make money? Plan for it. Don't just wait to see whether it will happen. Take charge and plan. But you have to do that by making God your priority. That is the big difference between a humanist view and a biblicist view. A Christian view says, I am working hard, but I trust God at the same time. God is my guide. God is my principal. So from Jesus, we learn the things we must not be preoccupied with, but he also teaches us to plan. So the big question that all Christians wrestle with is, how does my way fit into God's way? Is it God's way or my way? Is it God's plan or my plan? Because, you know, many times you're not sure. So if I'm supposed to plan, is it my own plan, or I should go and look for God's plan? How do I even find God's plan? Where do I go and read about God's plan for my life for the next 10 years? How do I get to know? And sometimes this kind of uncertainty can paralyze you into inactivity.